Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name's Jonathan, and I am here today with Carmella.
Hello.
Hello, Carmella. I'm here today with Chris.
Happy birthday, Carmella.
Woohoo!
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Carmella.
Thank you.
And we are here. Oh, I flipped the page. I wrote down things that I wanted to remember, and I flipped the page away from the things that I wrote down. How smart am I?
It's only funny because that's normal.
And we are joined by the honorable representatives of the state of Massachusetts, Susanna Whips Lee and Paul Mark. Hey, guys.
Hello, boys.
Hello. Happy
Not the same. Now.
Thank you.
We're glad to be joined by you guys. That is awesome. So, you guys are both representatives in the state of Massachusetts, and you're our first elected officials, so this is kind of exciting for us. We decided, because we have some true Americans on the show with us, that today we could have a show about Americana.
America.
So this, for the record, is going to be our America episode.
Different from the American history episode?
A little bit different, yes. Yep. So now, Susanna and Paul, I'm kind of interested. I've actually thought in the past, I wonder what it would be like to get into politics. How do you do that? And then I think to myself, because certainly I could do a better job than some of these bozos. Right?
Not you, he's thinking. Because
No.
He lives in Florida.
But tell me a little bit. How did you end up going into politics?
Well, I'll start. I think I had a different path than Paul. I was a selectman in my town for 10 years. I'm a seventh generation resident of this area, and I just felt like we needed a stronger voice in the legislature. So a few years ago, I decided to run, and I'm starting my second term in January.
And what Susanna's not telling you is she was one of two, I believe, in the entire state that beat an incumbent. So she actually took out an incumbent.
Nice.
That's amazing.
Yeah. For me, it was a little different. Mine actually began, and you know it's a long story when it begins with, when I was 8 years old, I met Mike Dukakis. Dukakis was our governor, and he was running for president. And there was a 4th of July parade. And for whatever reason, I had all these people standing on the sidelines. Dukakis came over, and he shook my hand. And I was hooked. I was like, wow, that guy's going to be the president. And I was really excited, and I watched, and I waited. And then November rolled around, and he lost. And I couldn't believe it. And so I decided right then I was going to start getting involved in politics. And so I started volunteering on campaigns when I was like 16 years old. I got involved in my union. I worked at the telephone company as a lineman. I went back to college. I went to law school, that kind of thing. And then when the incumbent state rep in my area decided in 2010 he wasn't going to run again, people that I knew started saying, well, Paul, you know so much about politics. You have so much to say. Why don't you put your money where your mouth is? Why don't you run? And so I did, and I won a three-way primary. I won a three-way general election, and I've been in ever since. I'll be starting my fourth term actually in January.
That's outstanding. I love that story. What people couldn't see is Susanna literally like grabbed your arm and pushed it away while you were talking. What was that?
Well, he kept banging on the table. He was very animated. He couldn't even click our pens, so I didn't want him having this thunderous sound as he's speaking. So I was trying to remind him,
Thank you.
It was almost like you were licking a napkin and then wiping his face. But like, come on, get your act together.
I've done that
over there.
Before.
Exactly. There you go.
And one of the things in Massachusetts is each of the representatives, there's 160. We each represent about 40,000 to 42,000 people. Our colleagues in the Boston area have 20 city blocks and, you know, 2 square mile districts. Paul and I, living in rural areas, have much larger districts. Mine is about 340. 40 square miles, and Paul has the largest district in the state, and he drives about 50 to 60,000 miles a year on his car to make sure he hits all of his constituents. And so it's definitely different being a rural representative than it is being an urban representative in the Commonwealth.
Yeah. You know, and what really excites me about that statement is that at the local level, what you just described is real engagement from the political establishment, right? From politicians. And that's not something we see necessarily at the national level as much. So that's actually kudos to you guys for doing that in that manner.
Yeah. Well, and even the camaraderie across the aisle that we find with a lot of our colleagues, it's not like Washington. People cringe when they see the Democrats and the Republicans against each other. And in Massachusetts, it's very collegial, and everybody seems to be working towards a common goal, which makes it a lot easier. We're from two separate parties.
Yeah, so, to put it in perspective, Susanna's one of, I think, less than 20% of the House that's Republican, and I'm a Democrat, and I'm not just a Democrat. I was co-chair of the Bernie Sanders campaign, so I'm a pretty far left Democrat. And we carpool together. So.
That's awesome.
So now, I don't know if everybody caught this, but this is an important factor in today's game. Their politicians, successful politicians in the state of Massachusetts.
That's right.
Okay, so
Jonathan's most hated state.
If Carmela and I can win today, this would be like striking a blow for freedom in my mind. This would be this would be big for me. Maybe I could overcome some of my angst.
Jonathan, there's no cure for you, Jonathan.
You might want to remember what happened to the South when they came against the North.
Oh, yes. Them fighting words.
That is awesome.
I was going to say, remember, Massachusetts, we invented America, but.
All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and get this thing rolling? It is time to warm it up, Chris.
Warm it up, Chris.
All right, everybody. This question is inspired by Team Chris founder, Pate Hogan.
And only member.
He is not the only member. My wife is a member of Team Chris also.
I'm just saying, when I put the opportunity on a t-shirt to say Team Chris on it, there was only one vote, and it was Pate.
No, Angie voted Team Chris also.
Oh, must have come late.
Okay, she did, so. All right. Man.
Anyway, okay. It's a tough crowd today.
It really is. Happy birthday to you. Be careful.
Anyway. Team Carmela got plenty of votes.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
It wasn't number one, though.
Okay. I'm going to give you a U.S. area code, and I want you to give me the state that the area code is in.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to give you a couple of area codes, unless the state or district only has one area code.
Okay.
All right? So it should give you a couple ideas, at least. I'm not just going to say a random area code, and then you guys have to figure it out. And I will give a clue, but you guys can talk amongst yourselves.
So we get clues with these area codes?
If you would like one, yes.
Absolutely. Okay, good.
What I will do is I will say Eastern, Central, Mountain, or Western.
Okay. So are we working together? Or are we going in a circle?
No, you two are working together, meaning Jonathan and Carmela, and the representatives are going to be working together as well.
Okay.
So, all right. We'll start with the representatives then, okay?
Okay.
And your area codes are 352, 321, and 941. I can also give you 305. This is a southern state. 352, 321, 941.
Georgia.
Final answer?
Yes.
All right. Jonathan and Carmela, would you like to tell them what state that is?
It's Florida.
That is the state of Florida.
I'm glad you knew, because I would have known. I'm not going to know any of these.
I worked in a call center for 8 years. I've seen a lot of area codes.
Also, let me put it to you in perspective this way. 321 is Cape Canaveral.
Yeah.
No, 321 blast off.
Oh, yes. Gosh.
So, yeah. I got it.
Yeah, wow, you've got to be pretty quick to get up in the to beat this one here.
All right, so Jonathan and Carmela, yours is 339-351-413.
Read them again.
339-351-413.
And what's the region?
Northeast.
Is it going to be Massachusetts?
It's got to be Massachusetts.
It is Massachusetts, yeah. Correct. All right. All right, representatives, your area code is 202.
Washington.
Washington, D.C. is absolutely correct.
Oh, I was thinking it might be Rhode Island. Look at this. Chris gave him a little bit of a softball there.
Okay. Well, hey, you guys get a little bit of a softball here, too.
It's kind of funny what you're doing right now.
The area code is 808.
808.
808. It is a hotbed vacation spot.
808.
Yep.
A hotbed.
Yes.
Vacation spot.
It only has one area code, so it's got to be someplace small, like Rhode Island. But is that a hotbed vacation spot?
No. Puerto Rico? Does Puerto Rico have area codes? He did say state.
Well, I mean, I think they do have area codes, and they would be a hotbed vacation spot.
Yeah, but it's not a state. I'm thinking maybe Nevada.
Has one area code?
Well, he gave us one area code. That doesn't mean it's their only area code.
No, it's their only area code. If I'm giving you only one area code, it's because it's their only area code.
Oh.
Yes, I said that at the beginning.
Are these all states?
They're all states. Yeah. Okay. Well, the only one that was not a state was Washington, D.C.
Thank you.
And that's why I said district.
Small enough to only have one area code. Hawaii.
Could be Hawaii.
I think we should go Hawaii.
Okay, Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Hawaii is correct.
Nice.
Yay.
All right. Susanna and Mark, here is your next one.
See, you already did it.
Susanna and Paul, excuse me. I'm so sorry. Okay. Let me put the dollar in the jar. Okay. Susanna and Paul, your next ones are 212, 646, and 914.
New York.
New York is absolutely correct. All right. So Jonathan and Carmella. 702-725-775.
A lot of sevens.
702 was a band, or like a group, like in the early 2000s, and I think they were from Los Angeles. So I think it's California.
I'm down with that.
California?
If you think about it, 777, Nevada.
Vegas. Oh, it's Nevada.
I had that thought, but you sounded like you had a good idea, so I wasn't going to knock around.
Fair enough.
Sure, make my fault.
No, it's not your fault. I was on board with you. You had an idea. I wanted to go with it.
All right, Suzanne and Paul, here's your next one. 213-909-707.
California.
California is absolutely correct. Well done.
Boo.
Jonathan Carmella, 208.
And that's it?
That's it.
It's another one spot, huh?
It is.
Rhode Island.
It's the smallest one.
Rhode Island or Delaware?
Rhode Island's only got three counties, so.
It is Midwest, or mountain region, really, is what the area code's in.
Montana?
So, I was thinking Wyoming.
Oh, Wyoming.
Wyoming has the smallest population out there.
That's true. Wyoming. Probably.
Let's say Wyoming.
Yeah.
I love their potatoes.
Idaho.
All right. Susanna and Paul. 312-773-708.
What region is that?
It is in the Midwest.
Boy. Yeah, if you want to go for that.
Illinois.
That's my guess.
Illinois is absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, nice. They are all the home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. That is all in Chicago.
Nice.
And your final...
Could you guys hear the eye rolling over here on this side of the room?
It's so great to say that. Okay.
Yeah, I gotta wait another century before it happens again.
That does it. I'm keeping your birthday gift.
Was a Cubs pennant.
That's right. All right. So the very last one that I have for y'all, for Jonathan Carmella, is 713-281-214.
Where's the region?
The region is Midwest, preferably the South Midwest.
Sam again?
215-713-281-214.
So southern part of the Midwest. Oklahoma?
No, I was thinking maybe Texas.
Well, they are right on top of each other. So we're in the right, I think we're in the right area. You want to say Texas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Texas.
Texas is absolutely correct. Well done.
He's going towards the big... Big Mamma Jammas.
I really kind of was. I didn't want
Idaho,
it to be
the Big Mamma Jamma.
I did not want it to be completely unfair.
No, he threw that at us intentionally. He's like, watch this.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Do we have any listeners in Idaho, by the way? I haven't seen any.
Okay, I haven't seen any either.
If you're up in Washington or Montana or Oregon and you listen, go make a friend in Idaho and get them to listen, okay? I want an Idaho.
I want all 50 states.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Is there any in Hawaii? If
I think
not,
so.
There should. And they should invite us to do a local, I mean, a local show there.
I think so. Just saying. Yeah, so, buy your own ticket. That's all.
All right. Yeah, exactly. All right. And that's your warm it up, Chris, question of the episode.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Pate.
Okay. Good. So, guys, it was a good warm it up. I feel relatively warm.
Yeah.
I think it's time to play the game.
Time to play the game.
Here's how it works. Our game is 6 rounds long, 3 questions per round, and each question is worth 10 points. There will be a midpoint question after round 3 that's worth 20 points, and when we get to the final question at the end of the game, you will be able to wager any or all of what you've earned throughout the game. If you're playing along at home, you can pause the game after each question to give yourself a chance to think about it and answer before listening to us. All right, guys. Let's get started. Chris.
Thank you, Motorhead. All right.
Let's get rolling. It's Jonathan and Carmella versus Susanna and Paul.
All right.
Make it happen, Cabin.
Okay. And so these are all questions based on the United States. All right. So
Americana.
America. All right. So your round one, question one category is English as a second language.
ESOL. My mother used to teach ESOL.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
Okay. Well, maybe she knows this answer then.
Probably not.
Fair enough. Your question is, what president born to Dutch parents was the only president to have English as their second language?
Oh, wow.
What president born to Dutch parents was the only president to have English as their second language?
Good with that?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, we're locked in.
Okay.
Okay, we can talk it out. We would reason out that it would be someone who's born in maybe upstate New York, Kinderhook area, and so we're thinking it's Martin Van Buren.
All right. Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
Okay. Jonathan?
If they have Van in the name, they must be Dutch. We said Van Buren.
And Martin Van Buren is absolutely correct.
Yay.
Nice job, both of you.
Good job.
Best sideburns ever.
Oh, what about Burnside?
Yeah, best sideburns for a president, maybe.
Okay, fine, whatever. I stand by my statement.
Fair enough. Okay. Question two, and you're going to need to get paper ready for this one.
Oh, okay? Golly.
All right. The category for question two is presidential mathematics. Your question is, can you add up the presidents on Mount Rushmore by number of presidential order and give me the sum? Here's a clue for you. Please count Grover Cleveland twice. And if you'd like an example of what I'm looking for, I have an example.
No, you just want a number as the answer, right?
Yes, I want a sum of the presidents and presidential order.
Okay.
Yes.
No, just give us a minute. We'll get it.
Okay. Susanna and Paul, are you clear with the question?
Oh, we're good.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
All right.
I thought we weren't going to have to do math.
I'm serious. I was told there would be no math.
Over here.
You just want me to add them up?
Yes. Well, I wanted the both of you to add it
Jonathan,
up because you have a partner.
You have a teammate.
I'm going to use my teammate, but I got to do math, and I can't do math with somebody else's brain, right?
Whatever.
She could give you help.
So, Carmella, while the boys figure this out.
Well, no, so
I think Paul's writing down every president that ever was, but we've got the numbers.
All right, so Carmella, let's look. Carmella and I are locked in.
Okay, great.
Well, we've got the 4 people on Mount Rushmore, Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson.
And Teddy Roosevelt.
And Teddy Roosevelt.
And so that's the first president, the 16th president, the 3rd president, and the 26th. And if you add that up, that comes to 46. So our answer is?
46.
Okay. Jonathan, Carmella.
I was really hoping the answer was going to be 42, that you had done a clever way to get an answer to be 42. But when we did the math, we did the exact same thing you guys got, and we ended up with 46.
And 46 is absolutely the correct answer. Well done, both of you.
So, Paul, you and I were both kind of writing out stuff. Were you listing the presidents between Lincoln and Roosevelt like I was?
Yeah, exactly. And I knew Cleveland was 22 and 24, but then I couldn't get it to add up that way. But I did in the end.
I did a spot check because I knew FDR was 32. And so I did it forward from Lincoln to Roosevelt, but then also went up to FDR to make sure that everything lined up.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. So, well done. Let's go into question three. Your category is Congress members.
I'm so hosed.
I want to say that this question is biased.
Well,
this thing is rigged.
U.S. Congress members.
Rigged.
And I will tell you this, there will once again be a little adding involved.
Oh, my God.
How many total voting members are there in the United States Congress? And that is including representatives and senators.
3, 2, 1 it.
Oh.
Not quite.
Love that. You're awesome.
Do you guys want to lock in?
Because yeah, we're locked in.
Since you're together, you can lock in and we could talk.
Okay.
All right. So, Carmela, 100 members in the Senate. I feel like the number in the House is 435. So that would mean 535 would be the total, but I'm not 100% sure on the House. I just feel like it's 435.
Yeah, the only one I knew for sure was the Senate. That's because it's easy, because there's two for every state. Yeah, I can go with that. You said 535?
535.
Okay.
535. All right, we're going to say 535.
535.
All right.
There are 100 senators and 435 representatives for a total of 535 is correct. Well done.
Nice.
Yay.
Okay, so we got a really good game going on so far. After one round, it is 30-30.
That was a totally biased question. Why don't you ask them how many vice presidents work at my company?
Do you even know how many vice presidents work for your company?
Of course not. What do I look like?
In all fairness, they work for the state, not the United States.
So. I know. I'm just saying, if I look at the United States government as an organization, then I look at it kind of hierarchically, you know? So it's all part of one piece. You pay attention to the people in your organization.
Fine. All right. So your round two question one category is famous movie parts.
Okay.
All right. Your question
like
is...
Like hand?
No. Parts.
Foot?
As in film.
My left foot?
Wilson?
Yes, I'm face-palming right now. Okay. Your question is, Tom Cruise, Emilio Estevez, and Jim Carrey were up for what famous acting role, just in case Matthew Broderick decided to turn down the role? And just to let you know, Matthew Broderick did take the role.
Read it again?
Absolutely. Tom Cruise, Emilio Estevez, and Jim Carrey were up for what famous acting role? Just in case Matthew Broderick decided not to take it. Broderick did take the role.
All right, we're locked in.
Okay.
My only worry, we're thinking Ferris Bueller, but my only worry is where the heck was Jim Carrey in the late 80s? I don't remember.
But maybe it would have been his breakthrough role or something. I mean, I can't think of what else was Matthew Broderick in that was so famous that... I mean, is that or War Games? I don't think it's War Games.
No, I don't think it's War Games. But Ferris Bueller was goofy. I don't see Tom Cruise being
That's why he didn't get the part. You know? It's like who was considered for these things, you know?
Okay, if you're feeling good about Ferris Bueller, I'll let you say it. But
I mean, I get what you're saying about Jim Carrey, but I don't see what is the what's the other movie that you're thinking of?
I'm trying to think. All I can think of Matthew Broderick in War Games.
Ferris Bueller.
What the heck else?
I could name some movies if that would help you guys.
Well, the Matrix.
I'm thinking Game Theory now. When Chris,
I don't think Game Theory. That's stupid.
No, I am.
Hey.
Because we just listened to the other one and they had Abe Froman on it.
Yeah, don't think.
You know
about
what?
That.
Let's lock in with
because we might have been listening to like episode 7 or something.
You're right. Okay, we'll lock in at Ferris Bueller.
I mean, I just don't have a better answer.
No. Okay. So. I'm okay.
John, what did I just say to you about having a Ferris Bueller question?
Right. So when we were talking, Ferris Bueller was one of the names that came up, and we were talking, and she said, we just had a Ferris Bueller question. I was like, I know. Was Chris here for that question? Because it hadn't been released on a show yet. I don't know if it...
It was this one that just came out this past week.
Okay. And so he didn't know that had happened.
Yes, I did. Remember who wrote the questions for that episode?
So you were thinking about a different movie.
I was, because I got stuck in like, oh, it's America theme. I was thinking Glory, because he played the captain of the first African-American regiment in the Civil War. but I don't know that guy's name. But
and I don't know that guy's name either. So when we looked at it, it's like, look, it's not a bad answer, but I don't know that guy's name.
Yeah. So
I didn't. I said that's not a famous. That's not an iconic kind of role.
Yeah. Should be.
But Chris loves the movie Glory, so
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was the answer, but I couldn't give the answer because I don't know the guy's name.
So we said all that to say, we said Ferris Bueller.
Yep.
The answer is Ferris Bueller and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Congratulations.
So Chris is on a roll writing Ferris Bueller questions, apparently.
No, actually, it was written at two completely separate times, and after I listened to the episode, I was like, crud, but this was such a good question. Honestly,
well, it's okay. We ended up going with it because we forgot that you wrote the questions for the episode. Yeah,
and honestly, I like this question. This question actually came from that one of the movie podcasts that you mentioned to me to listen to.
Nice.
Yeah, they were talking about it when I listened to the Ferris Bueller's Day Off episode. Love that. So I was like, okay, that's good stuff.
Now, for a visual image here at Trivial Warfare Studios, I had
AKA
a visual
Jonathan's
image,
apartment.
I had a visual image when Susanna and Paul were talking. If you want to get a sense for what Paul looks like, from a profile perspective, I got a little Andrew Luck from him.
Oh, yeah.
That's nice. You know? Nice. That's nice. Not it. I got some Andrew Luck. If you just let so you have a beard. If you just let the neck beard part grow out, you'd be spitting image of Andrew Luck.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Can't
dream. Yeah, there's proof of that.
Thank you.
There we go.
I got the Abe Lincoln, Honest Abe look going.
All right. Question two and round two is probably going to be your hardest question so far.
Oh.
All right. And it's the category is military organizations. What is the largest veterans organization in the United States?
Carmel, I don't know Jack.
I know a couple organizations. I just don't know which one.
We're locked in if you want to talk about it.
Oh, okay. Oh, that helps. Great. Thank you.
Here you go, here's your paper.
All right, so what are you thinking about, Carmella? Because I'm not having, like, I don't even have a single veterans organization name coming to me.
So the two that I thought of, because they were the first two that came to mind, were Veterans of Foreign War, so VFW, and PowMIA. I don't really think it's PowMIA because that's more of a cause, but I don't know how active Veterans of Foreign Wars are.
Neither one of those feels like the right answer. By the way, if you guys hear banging on the show, our apologies. My upstairs neighbors are apparently hammering something right now, and nothing I can do to avoid that.
Or aggressively playing on a trampoline.
Now it sounds like hammering.
Yeah, they're probably like, hey, I should hang up this Christmas wreath.
Right now. We don't care about that guy recording downstairs. All right, so I don't feel... Are there any... The Veteran Affairs Administration? The VA.
Right.
What is that a veterans organization?
Maybe.
Because VA is the term that comes to me when I think about veterans, but
right.
Like there's the VA hospital and there's that kind of stuff. But I don't have,
I'm trying to think of who has the lodges.
The, what are they called?
They're kind of like the Moose Lodges.
The Moose or the. God, brain just went blank. What happened?
And I've been to
those. Masons. You're talking about the Masons?
No, not the Masons. They're, my dad is a retired sailor, and I used to go, when, last time I went to go visit him, we ended up going to this place, and it's where all the vets hang out.
The Loyal Order of the Water Buffalo?
Shut up.
Yeah, that's it. That way to help your teammate out there. But great joke.
But I'm trying to remember what the names of those lodges are called, and because that might be it. But I don't have anything better than the ones that I listed. And I agree with you with the VA but I don't know if they're considered an organization.
I don't either.
So
I want to just guess VA and hope for the best.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, we're gonna guess VA.
Okay.
So we thought it would be either the American Legion or the VFW, and we went with the American Legion.
That's the lodges you were talking
about.
That
was the lodges I was thinking.
The correct answer is the American Legion.
Yeah. Good job, guys.
The American Legion was actually formed in Paris on March 16, 1919, if that date sounds familiar, Jonathan, and was chartered by the Congress later on that same year. As of 2014, the American Legion has over 2.4 million members.
I'm so upset.
Yeah, that's obviously what you were talking about.
I'm so upset.
I feel like we should have got that, Carmella. Sorry. My bad.
It's okay.
Okay. For the third question in the second round, it is classic TV and classic American TV. I guess that's to be Noted.
So it's not Bollywood?
No, it's not Bollywood. Okay.
Classic. Just checking.
Okay, classic American TV. What was Lucy and Ricky's last name in I Love Lucy?
3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
Name a person on each team that's going to say it, because we've had
actually no. I don't want to. I have no desire to do a 3, 2, 1 here.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Okay. No, I'd like for us to make sure that we agree before we say anything.
Okay,
I thought this was great.
You're locked
in. Don't give me a hard time because I don't want to do a 3, 2, 1. I have a teammate. I want to talk to my teammate.
But I know the answer.
Well, then we should be able to say the same thing and feel good about it. Do you think it's Arnaz?
No, that's his real name. On the show, it was Ricky Ricardo and Lucy Ricardo.
See why we needed to talk about it? Because if I did 3, 2, 1,
that's why I was going to do the 3, 2, 1.
Okay, so you're confident in Ricardo?
Yes.
Okay, we're locking that in.
Okay.
Yes. We said Ricardo.
All right, and Ricardo is correct. Well done, you two.
Wonder. See, that was great, wasn't it? Good teamwork.
Arnaz was their real name.
Easy mistake to make, right?
Carmela, let's send these two out for coffee. You and I.
There you go. So, after...
the one TV question I know.
All right. So after two rounds, Susanna and Paul are leading 60 to 50.
Oh, sure.
60 to 50. All right. So your round three, question one, is famous U.S. quotes.
Okay.
And the question is, in the U.S. Pledge of Allegiance, what two words were not included when it was published on September 8th, 1892? Again.
We'll lock in.
Oh, wow. Okay, they're locked in.
It's got to be that.
It wasn't added until the 50s. It was under God.
We're saying under God.
Okay.
Under God. Underdog. Under God.
as they'd say in Chicago, under God.
All right. Under God is absolutely correct. Man, I think I made these questions way too easy.
Well, there's only one two-word phrase in there that would make sense, even if we didn't know the answer.
Fair enough. All right.
Unless you think indivisible is two words.
No, that's indivisible. It can't be.
Of America.
All right, for another easy question. Question two in category three.
Let's be fair, though. Jonathan and I have proved that we're pretty good at American history.
Fair enough.
Yeah, we're all really smart.
Yes. Whatever. Right. I would have missed Ricardo. I'm not claiming any level of smart right now.
All right, so question two category is famous emblems. Question is, in the Great Seal of the United States, what Latin phrase is written out on the ribbon being held by the eagle?
We'll lock it in.
All right, they're locked in.
All right, so Carmela and I both wrote something down. We looked at each other. We shared what we wrote down. We both wrote down E Pluribus Unum, which means from many, one. And we both think that's the answer, so E Pluribus Unum.
Okay.
E Pluribus Unum.
And E Pluribus Unum is absolutely correct.
Chris isn't going to get any points in this game.
Nope. But you know, sometimes we've been told that we ask too hard of questions. Not this game. I'll have to come back to the drawing board if we ever do another Americana.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. You never know.
Question three, your category is currency.
The dollar. I got it. It's U.S. It's Americana. Got it.
Your question is, what denomination bill was discontinued in 1966?
All right, we're going to lock in.
Okay. Paul and Susanna? Okay.
Well, we got to mention one thing here. Every piece of currency, U.S. currency, that has been made since 1792 actually originated in the town of Dalton, Massachusetts, in my district. Crane & Company is the exclusive U.S. currency paper manufacturers.
Wow.
Very cool. Yeah.
Do you know what I learned the other day about the work that they do? I didn't know company, yeah. But I learned that the dollars, that all of the different currencies have linen in them. Yep. They're not just paper, which is why they're so much more resilient and durable, because it's not just standard paper.
Yeah, they're made of cotton. It's actually, I've been in the factory. It's an interesting process. Like I've seen the $100 bills that were new before they came out. So,
hello. Oh, that's cool. You should take a this would not be a good campaign picture. Not a good campaign picture, but get them like to hang up a board with all of the $100 bills and do a selfie with that as your background. Right. Don't ever show that to anybody, but still epic picture.
He was trying to get them to put his face on one of the bills. Yeah, but they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, well, you could put your face on the bill. You just kind of lay your face on it and say, "Hey, look, my face is on the dollar bill." I really should do that. How come I didn't think of that before?
She's trying to talk about that question.
If you guys are locked in, I think we need to. I was thinking $2 bill.
It's definitely not the $2 bill. It's either the $500 or the $1,000. And do you know, do they still make $1,000 bills? I have no idea.
Well, you're in leadership. You get paid more than me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. We don't get paid. lobbyists leave those all over the place.
I'm going to have to defer to you. You're the money guy. It's in your district. If you want to.
For whatever reason, I know that Grover Cleveland is on the $1,000 bill, but I don't know if that means they still make it or they don't make it anymore.
Who's on the 500? Do we know anything?
I want to say McKinley, but I don't actually know. And they, I don't know which one, if either, is still made. So I don't know. But it's not the two, because I've seen $2 bills. They still make those. So what do you think? 1,000?
500.
Flip a coin?
You should split the difference and go 750.
Yeah. They definitely don't make $3 bills anymore. I know that. I mean, do you feel strongly either way? Or?
I do not. So I'm going to let you have it. And if you get it wrong, it's all on you.
I know. I mean, 500 was the first thing that came into my head. But I don't know a lot about people using $500 bills either. So
I have not seen a $500 bill in my lifetime, nor have I seen a $1,000 bill. And having been on the earth 10 more years than you.
Well, some of them they use for like interbank exchanges, that kind of thing. So, all right, let's say 500. We're going to go with the 500.
Okay, final answer. All right.
So,
Jonathan and Carmella.
You guys were really confident that it wasn't the two, and I'm sure that they might do special printings, but I feel like the two was discontinued. I don't think it's in regular circulation, so.
I also didn't think about 500 or 1,000 either, and I know.
I don't have any experience with those in any case, so it would have been hard to go with one of those.
But we had said two.
We said the two.
All right, and the answer is the $2 bill.
Nice.
So I pulled up the information just because you were very confident in that, and so production went on until 1966 when the series was discontinued. 10 years went by before the $2 bill was reissued as a Federal Reserve note,
and
not as currency. So,
they still make it. It was a trick.
So, next time you visit that plant out there in your district, make sure they know that you got a question wrong about the work that they do.
Okay, going into the halftime question, it is 80-80.
Nice.
We've got a fantastic game going on so far.
We're in the game.
And I probably made these questions way too easy, but that's all right.
Stop saying that.
I will start continuing to say that. Okay, so your midpoint question is House of Representatives.
Rigged.
just think about how hard these questions are for all the people who aren't in the U.S.
That's possible. Oh, that's a very good call.
Right?
Didn't think about that. Very good point. Okay. So your question is, for 5 points each, I want you to name 4 out of the top 5 states that have the most representatives in the House of in the United States House of Representatives.
Wow, that is rigged. These guys could probably put them in order from 1 to 50.
Again, they work for the state government. Completely different.
Yes, but they focus on politics, Chris.
Like, it's still a good question.
No, it's a good question, just not for them. She's literally holding a flag now.
America.
Did you say 4 of the top 5? Is that what
yes,
it was?
Yes, I only want 4 answers from you.
Okay, but any 4 of the top 5 count.
That's correct. Yes, sir. Yep.
Do we get extra for if we have the 5th one?
No, ma'am, not this time. Especially not with these scores.
We're locked in if you want to discuss.
Perfect. All right, so Carmella, which ones did you write down?
I wrote California and New York because they're the biggest population centers.
Totally agree with you. I feel like Texas is also a population center. They have a ton of cities. So I'd say Texas. And so the 4th one... Florida comes to mind. We have a good number of cities, and we're a very desirable win for a politician.
We do have quite a bit of people here, but we also have in Florida, there's kind of like a mobile population where people who live here, a lot of them don't live here 100% of the time, so I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, but we just had the election, and I'm thinking about the electoral votes.
Yeah. I'm okay with Florida.
Let's do it this way, though. Is there another state that it might be? Pennsylvania, maybe not. Florida's bigger than Pennsylvania.
There's the great state of Massachusetts.
Yeah, they're kind of small and insignificant.
We invented America.
I love that she's just waving that flag.
She's literally waving the flag over the microphone.
It's kind of fabulous.
Let's go Florida.
All right, so California, New York, Texas, and Florida.
Yep.
Okay. And Suzanne and Paul, go right ahead, please.
We went by the electoral votes because the electoral votes are the number of representatives and senators added together. And so we have California, Texas, Florida, and New York.
Okay. And the answers are, in first, California with 53. Texas is in second with 36. New York and Florida are tied for third with 27.
Nice.
And the fourth one, which is actually the fifth, is Pennsylvania with 18.
Oh, our discussion. How about that? Our discussion was right on the money.
Yeah.
So, I thought on the most recent election, I thought California had 55.
Right. 53 representatives and two senators.
So, it's the senators and the representatives add together.
Yep.
Nice call. All right. Good deal.
So, all right. So,
we got hundies.
Wow. So, yes, very much so. So, only one question missed by each team in the first half. It is 100 to 100.
We're making it rain up in here. And that's the end of the first half. We'll be back with the second half right after this.
Round four, question one, category, is public service.
All right.
What former United States president, after his presidency, became a member of Congress and the only United States president to do so?
Oh, I got to think about this. I've heard this.
Will Ogden.
What former U.S. president, after his presidency, became a member of Congress, the only U.S. president to do so?
I feel like I've heard this before recently, Carmela. I know that Taft is the one that became a Supreme Court justice afterwards.
Right.
Is it possible it's Adams?
I don't think so. Well, maybe.
Do you know anything about Adams?
Which Adams?
John.
Oh. I John, too.
Wait, Tyler.
Zachary Tyler?
No, John Tyler.
John Tyler.
I feel like... hold on.
I wrote, like, I'm a sermon, like, Coolidge, Carter. It's like, not Carter. Maybe Coolidge.
Coolidge wasn't getting elected to anything after his presidency.
Ouch.
Yeah. it wasn't Carter.
Neither was Hoover.
Yeah, seriously. Tyler lived to a ripe old age, and he was already pretty old. All right. I'm sorry. Let's run through them and see if any of them ring a bell. Okay.
So you want to start from the top?
Yeah. So Washington didn't. Adams. Something about Adams is making me wonder. Jefferson. No. It's not any of the war guys. Most of the guys between Lincoln and Roosevelt are generals. Mm-hmm. It's not any of them. And I don't feel like it's anybody recent or modern.
You want to just try Tyler?
Tyler's the name that comes to me. I feel like it might be wrong. Sorry, but no, that's the best I got.
So we're going to say Tyler.
Tyler.
Well, from the great state of Massachusetts, we're going to say John Quincy Adams.
And the answer is John Quincy Adams.
That's why Adams was sticking with me. It was the wrong Adams. Doggone it.
My apologies for the Massachusetts portion of it. I wasn't thinking about it. I just love the question. Quincy served 18 years after he was president as a representative of the House of Massachusetts and died at the age of 80 while he was on the representative floor. He died during a vote. He collapsed and then 2 days later died while he was trying to do a vote.
That's what I call dissenting right there.
God, that sucks.
Oh my God, I knew that. I knew that and I just couldn't get it. So frustrating.
Well, I have to tell you, the note on Paul's paper next to me is like, poker face, exclamation point. As you guys are talking through it, I'm kind of like, I need to.
You look a little too happy.
Well, and I was wondering with you guys getting as quickly as they did, if maybe they'd centralize around the two Massachusetts presidents at the war, which was Adams and Quincy.
I don't
Adams,
think so. About that at all. Well, that's nothing.
You do that to me quite a bit, as a matter of
but
fact.
But I wasn't looking at them. Oh, okay. No, I see what you mean.
Yeah, with the quick answers. It's like, well, since Chris got this right, it has to be one of his wheelhouse people, like Jimmy Buffett. Okay, so your question two in round four is, category is American science.
Science.
American science?
American science. America science. what early 20th century agricultural American scientist was an advisor to Theodore Roosevelt, Mahatma Gandhi, and was also a member of the British Royal Society of Arts, a rare honor for Americans?
Read it again, please.
Yep. What early 20th century agricultural American scientist was an advisor to Theodore Roosevelt, Mahatma Gandhi, and was also a member of the British Royal Society of Arts, a rare honor for Americans?
Okay. We've locked in an answer.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to have to talk this out. The name coming to me is Carver.
What did he invent? It says peanuts, but yeah, he didn't invent peanuts.
No, but I think he... I know he didn't invent peanuts. He's an agricultural scientist that I believe. I mean, that was just a name that sprung right to my head when I heard it.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other agricultural scientists. Do you have...
I have nobody. Is he the right time period?
I believe so.
Because, I mean, he had to already be famous in 1905 or so, and then he had to still be around for Gandhi. I mean, it's not a bad answer. I don't know what he invented. I know where he is, but
I can't for the life
peanut
of
brittle.
Me think. No. You're real laughing.
He was one of the founders for Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Well, if he should get locked in just if he had anything to do with Reese peanut butter cups.
Maybe it was Mr. Reese.
No, I'm really like at a complete loss as far as agricultural scientists.
Yeah, I have nobody else. So if that's...
We're going to lock in with Carver.
Okay.
We had a similar discussion and we said Carver.
George Washington Carver is the correct answer.
There we go. He invented peanuts, people. Peanuts.
I love that cartoon.
No, he didn't. He didn't invent them, but there was something to do with planting them and the way they were planted in order to. I'm not sure what it was he did with them, but there was definitely something around peanuts,
like
for
an
sure.
early day Monsanto kind of thing happening. Who knows?
Exactly.
Well, he actually found, like, I want to say, in reading on this, it was like 50 different uses for the peanut.
Oh,
we have peanut butter today, people.
So, well, yes. Maybe, but anyway, but well done, you two. Well done. All right. Question three: presidential policy. What president was the first to receive a Medicare card due to his efforts to establish Medicare?
We're locked in.
Doesn't it have to be FDR?
Well,
isn't that part of the New Deal?
I thought so.
I don't think it was his. I feel like it was part of the New Deal.
No, I know it was part of the whole
and he was
Social
disabled
thing.
Due to polio, so he could have been on Medicare. He could have been on the disabled part of Medicare and not the elderly part of Medicare.
Hmm. True.
I can't think of... I personally, if I had to try and name a president related to Medicare other than FDR, I wouldn't be able to say, oh yeah, that dude had something big to do with Medicare.
Yeah. Just because I'm like, oh, FDR had died in office. Maybe it didn't get established during that time. We did have the whole Depression before we actually entered World War II. So...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm okay with FDR.
All right, we'll go FDR.
Okay.
So... Carmela's logic was right on. FDR was dead, and so Medicare didn't pass till 1965, and it was a FDR-Truman idea. It was actually in the Democratic Party platform, I think, in 1948, was universal health care. And so when they passed it, they gave the first card to President Harry Truman.
And the card was number one.
Number two was his wife.
Oh, my. Wow.
I don't even have to read the flavor text Truman. I wrote there. Harry Truman and Bess Truman is absolutely correct.
I wrote down Truman.
Oh, man.
Well,
wow.
No, you said Truman. I argued against it.
Wow. Paul and Susanna, you're very formidable. That's just impressive. So, all right. So, going into round five, the score is 130.
To 110.
To 120.
We've missed two.
You must. Oh, I just gave you credit for that, for getting that wrong. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I guess because Carmella had it right. I was trying.
We got
to
get a ringer over here.
Okay. So anyway, the score going into the fifth round is 130 to 110.
Mm.
All right.
This is rigged, Carmella. This is so freaking rigged.
Your round three.
To be fair, you did talk me out of Truman.
To be fair, you're right.
All right. Round five, question one. The category is military initials. What does the GI and GI Joe stand for? And I will let you know there are actually two correct answers.
We're locked in.
Wow. Okay.
General Infantry.
I was going to say General Issue.
A G.I. Joe? He's an infantry soldier. He's general infantry.
I thought it was sardonic.
You're sardonic.
A little. Your face is sardonic.
No, I'm glad you noticed.
Actually, I thought, Carmella, that's what you go, you know what else is sardonic? Your face.
I thought, and he said there might be two answers here. No. I thought it was General Issue. He said there are two answers here.
Yeah.
I thought it was General Issue because it was implying these guys are the word Joe. It's kind of like a faceless, replaceable person, right?
Well, there's also heavy infantry and light infantry, and general infantry would be somewhere in the middle.
No, I get the concept, but I really feel like it's General Issue. Like these are commodities, not.
You talked me out of Truman.
I feel like it's General Issue. But I will
paper, scissors, lizard,
Spock. I will defer. We can go with your answer.
It's my birthday.
Yep. We will go with your answer.
All right.
So what is your answer, please?
General Infantry.
Okay.
We said Government Issue.
Government Issue.
And the answer is Government Enlisted or Government Issue.
Government Enlisted would start with an E.
Right.
I'm not disagreeing, but on the site, it's I as enlisted, not enlisted as an enlisted, but enlisted.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it was Government Issue, not General Issue. That's I would have been wrong too. Yeah. What hurts me on that question is if I had thought of the word government, I would have been much more
adamant
that I was right, because Government Issue, if that had come to mind, I knew that would have been right. General Issue, I wasn't 100% on, which is why I went the other way. So neither one of us thought of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So your question two category is classic American actor or actress.
Okay.
What actor or actress had a starring role in the following TV shows and movies?
Oh, it's a tri-bond?
Yes.
Okay.
American Graffiti, Happy Days, and The Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah. You sure about the
mm-hmm.
movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go for it. Lock it in.
We're locked in.
Okay.
All right, I guess we're going to talk it out a minute.
Yeah, go ahead. What do you got?
I'm thinking Happy Days, Andy Griffith Show, Ron Howard, American Graffiti, I'm guessing it's around the
Yeah, he's in that.
The right
he's,
time.
He's definitely in that. Richard Dreyfuss, I think Harrison Ford. What's her name? Shirley from Laverne and Shirley. So, yeah, I like Ron Howard.
Okay,
good.
I guess we'll lock in with Ron Howard.
We said Ron Howard.
Ron Howard is absolutely correct. Well done. Really wanted to choose three very iconic American performances on that. So that's why I chose the three that I did.
I was writing down, like, and then I'm like, I don't need to write the rest of these down. It's Ron Howard.
Yeah, I knew it was too easy of a question, but it was like one of those questions you kind of had to ask just because it's just, they're very American. So, all right.
That's right, Opie.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Your question three category is U.S. history. The question is, what was the Ardennes Offensive better known as? And that's Ardennes. What was the Ardennes Offensive better known as?
All right, we're locked in.
Okay.
Well, that sounds French to us. It sounds French to me anyway. Yeah. Does it sound French to you?
Yes, it does. Ardennes.
So I'm thinking either World War II or World War I. The first thing that came to my mind was D-Day, but I don't know.
Normandy, D-Day. I'll go with you on that.
Yeah, you don't have anything from World War I.
No, I'm trying to think. Anything French? I mean, French and American War. Anything over here. No, we'll say D-Day. I'm okay with that. Okay. Lock in D-Day.
Okay. Actually, I need you to be more specific, please.
The invasion of Normandy.
Okay.
Carmella and I both agreed it's the Battle of the Bulge.
The Battle of the Bulge is correct.
Yes.
I love that it was a foreign question about something very American that we were able to gain ground on. So Ardan is the...
is it Ardan?
I think it's Ardan.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure on that, though, so I could be wrong.
Do we have any French listeners?
I hope. I don't know any of them yet.
If so, tell me how to pronounce it.
If so, identify yourself. Join us at the Trivial Warfare Army on Facebook because we want to know you.
I like that it was a question that we both wrote down separately and we agreed instantly.
I know. Agreeing is so much more fun, isn't it?
You know what's cool? The reason it was called the Battle of the Bulge mm-hmm. was media broadcast at the time. When they would show what was happening in the war, they would have the line drawn. They literally showed the line moving out into this bulge. And so they're like, it's this big bulge here. And that's why it was called the Battle of the Bulge.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I think that was a tremendous question. And you know, especially with this being an America episode, just a reminder that the United States of America is back-to-back World War champions.
That's one way to put it.
Awesome.
There are no winners in war, Susanna.
I love it. All right. Oh. So after five rounds, Susanna and Paul hold serve. It's 150 to 130. Your round six question one category is classic American music.
Okay.
What American musician wrote the following American songbook classics? White Christmas, God Bless America, and There's No Business Like Show Business. Here's an interesting part about this person. They were actually not born in the United States. They were born in Russia.
All right, we're going to go ahead and lock in.
Okay.
Can you read, what were the three songs again?
Absolutely. White Christmas, God Bless America, and There's No Business Like Show Business.
I think it's Irving Berlin.
I will agree with you on that one. Yeah. I like that, Irving Berlin.
Okay, we're going to go with Irving Berlin.
There's no business like show business.
We said Berlin.
Irving Berlin is absolutely correct.
All right, good job, guys. I was hoping we were going to make up ground on that one because I thought you might go with Bing Crosby.
He was...
Someone wrote Bing Crosby.
he was born Israel Isidore Balin.
Really?
Yep.
And huh.
It was very, very interesting. He was actually born in Imperial Russia.
Hmm.
And then later on moved to the United States and became a United States citizen. So, all right. Question two category, American football.
Football.
Damn it. All
right. If this is a Patriots question, you're fired.
Nope.
Just saying.
Let's find out.
She's waving the flag again.
Let's just find out.
That'd be so. It was an accidental Massachusetts question, Jonathan.
Tom Brady.
What NFL team's last championship was in 1947? Making them the longest active championship drought in North America. And no, it's not the Jacksonville Jaguars. It just feels like it.
They weren't around in 1947.
Read the question again, please.
Yes, sir. What NFL team's last championship was in 1947, making them the longest active championship drought in North America?
For NFL football.
In North America.
Out of all sports.
Out of all sports. The Chicago Cubs was that answer a couple weeks ago. Not anymore.
He's going to milk that for all it's worth. You know.
Yep.
That.
That's how I got this question, as a matter of fact. Thank you, Sports Illustrated.
All right, we're going to go ahead and lock in.
All right, we could have talked this one out.
So I was thinking 1947, NFL team. And so I'm trying to think of the old NFL teams that have never won the Super Bowl. And the three that came to my mind were the Cardinals, the Eagles, and the Lions. And I know the Browns have never won the Super Bowl, but I know they've won NFL championships after 1947. The first name that came to me was the Cardinals, but I mean, it could be.
Are the Cardinals still playing today?
Yeah, they moved to Arizona, but they're definitely still around. But I mean, it could be any one of those three if you have any.
No, I'm not a sports person, but I like birds, so I'd go with Cardinals.
I'd go with, well, the Eagles are a answer. Bird, too.
But they're like, Cardinals are nice birds. Eagles are like,
oh. Yeah, but Eagles, this is an American episode. It could be.
Oh.
Oh. It could be the Eagles.
America. Well, Sports Illustrated, Chris said he got the question from Sports Illustrated. I don't read Sports Illustrated.
Cardinals came into my head, but I want to say Eagles just because of America.
So. I'm with you.
And if it's Cardinals, I'm going to be angry. So we're going to say the Eagles.
Holy crap, Carmella. We didn't think about the Eagles. We wrote down Lions and Browns, and we're debating between the two.
We laughed because of the Lions, because of Ben.
That's right. It could have just been a question to pick on our friend Ben, who's a Lions fan. If I'd have thought of Eagles, I would have definitely said Eagles strictly because of the episode. I think they probably got it right, but we said Lions.
Yeah, Lions.
Well, they used to be in Chicago. They used to be in St. Louis, but now they're in Arizona. The Arizona
the Cardinals. We didn't get home.
We lucked out.
Woo! Oh, we suck, but you suck too.
But he had the right answer. He just talked himself out of it.
He thought you were being clever.
Well,
and what he doesn't realize is you aren't a clever person.
I'm not a clever person at all. No.
Chris, so. I think you're clever.
Thank you very much.
This close to becoming Team Chris.
Thank you. I appreciate
Chris
that.
Chris is intelligent. Chris isn't really clever. That's a different thing.
Okay.
What do you think? Tell us about it next time on Montel.
So you choose a show that's been gone for like 25 years.
Well, hey.
All right. So that was I love the debate on that. That was great. All right. So question three. Your category is in American literature. Jonathan.
Literature.
Thank you. All right. What author wrote the following? Home is the place where, when you have to go there, they have to take you in. Again, what author wrote the following? Home is the place where, when you have to go there, they have to take you in.
All right, we're locked in.
Okay.
Literature is not our strong subject here.
You should have had more literature, Chris. Where was the Song of Hiawatha, for God's sakes?
Less government, more literature. Next time we have them on, we'll definitely have that. All right, mister?
I want there to be plenty of Mohicans.
We could have had Poe. We could have had so much literature.
Oh, man, I would have nailed Poe questions.
Leaves of Grass. Could have Ginsberg. Could have fun.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea. Sorry.
Good answer.
We're gonna say Mark Twain.
Okay. No, wait, no, we haven't said Mark Twain.
He has no idea, but he doesn't like her idea.
I like Mark Twain.
Exactly. No. That's really funny. Bill.
Yeah, Cardinals.
Exactly. I think I had both of those.
You did not.
I like the red bird more than the scary eagle. Frost Twain.
Why do you think Mark Twain?
Well, I'm just thinking of stories where maybe if somebody was away and came back home.
I mean, he doesn't.
I don't know.
He's not really a poet. That sounds
it's
poetic.
Not, is it poetic?
Mm. I don't know.
Well, he's been hit in Massachusetts. If it's poetic, maybe we.
No, remember, no game theory. See, I did Dickens. That one with the Cardinals, and that cost us.
That failed miserably.
I know. I don't like that. Yeah. Pick whatever you want. I don't care.
Except the one that he doesn't want you to say.
Except pick Robert Frost. But other than that, I don't care. No, I really have no idea.
You want me to say Robert Frost?
No, but you wrote down Dickinson, Frost, Twain, and I don't know what the fourth one is.
I don't know.
So if you feel strongly about Mark Twain, then go for it.
I don't feel strong about him, but I'm trying to think.
Because I don't have a better answer. So.
Well, I'm trying to think who wrote about home. I mean, we've got... It's not Thoreau-esque. It's not.
Could be Emerson. I don't know.
I'll pick
I just
something.
Don't think it's Mark Twain. If it's Mark Twain,
I'm going Mark Twain. If it's Mark Twain,
I'm
going to
be so angry. But I don't think you should pick Mark Twain.
Okay.
I love that there's a bargain going. I'm like, if it's wrong, you got to buy coffee
this
for the next month.
In action.
Yes,
Carmella, you should have done that with Jonathan.
I'm going to filibuster for a few
this
minutes
is how
here.
We might have a podcast lockout.
I'm just trying to think of famous American authors. I'm thinking author rather than poem, but we're going to say, because we have no clue, Willa Cather of Old Pioneers.
Where did that's that come from?
That's just coming because when I think of like.
No, don't say
no,
that.
Okay, I won't say her.
Pick someone first.
We're going to say.
That's the second time you've done that. Take anybody you want. I'm good with your answer. No, I'm not that one.
Not that one. Yeah, exactly.
Just not the right answer.
Emily Dickinson from Amherst, Massachusetts. All we'll go there.
We like
Emily Dickinson, locked in.
Okay. Jonathan and Carmella.
So we had a similar conversation with completely different content, but it sounded about the same, right?
Okay, fair enough.
I thought about Whitman, thought about Longfellow, thought about Frost. Now that after their conversation, I wonder if it was more like a humorist, like a Will Rogers kind of person. Mm. I wouldn't be shocked if it was Will Rogers.
It is kind of it is like one of those statements that you would say if you're trying to be funny, like, well, they have to take you.
Exactly. So. I'm wondering if it's him. But we ended up going with Mark Twain because Chris loves some Mark Twain.
Okay. Well, the poem was The Death of the Hired Man. The author was Robert Frost.
It was Frost. We both said Frost and didn't answer it.
So Chris finally got his revenge in the sixth round.
Revenge of the Chris?
Exactly.
Took you long enough.
Going into the final question, it is 160 to 140, Paul and Susanna. All right. So now we're coming to a brand new thing we're doing here at Trivial Warfare. It's called the Gauntlet.
So the way this is going to work is he's got three questions. We're going to wager ahead of time, and we have to get them all right in order to get the points that we wager. The way it will work is that he'll ask the question, we both have to come up with an answer, and we have to share what that answer is officially, and then he'll ask the next question, and we'll share what our answers are, and then he'll ask the next question, and we'll share what our answers are, and in the end, he will tell us what all of the right answers were. So we will not know if we were right or wrong until the very end. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yep.
Except the wager part. Explain the wager. I don't.
So you have 160 points. We have 140 points. I think that's right.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so you can wager up to 160.
But we have to get all three right. I don't understand that.
It's okay. For the purposes of the questions. You only wager once for all of them.
Gotcha.
And if you get them all right, you get your points. If you miss any of them, you lose your points.
Okay.
And there's no time limits. No,
I'm not going to give you a time limit.
Okay.
The category? You'll tell us the category.
I'm going to bet the category is America.
Nope.
Please be literature. Please be literature.
Your final question category is the United States Constitution. For your questions, I'm going to read you three U.S. constitutional amendments. I want you to tell me what the number is.
You're going to read the whole amendment?
Yes.
How long are they?
Not very long. I chose very short ones because of air.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay. You ready?
Yes.
Oh, we're ready. Where is the oldest constitution in the United States?
Massachusetts.
For the record, I'm betting that they have these memorized.
You think so?
Yes.
All right. Well,
they're government officials.
Let's find out. Okay, the very first one is, but not the First Amendment, potentially. It's two parts. The first part, the rights of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. And the second part is the Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation.
We're locked in.
Okay, they're locked in.
We are too. We're going with the 14th here.
Okay. We went with the 15th.
Okay.
Okay. No person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice, and no person who has held the office of president or acted as president for more than 2 years of a term to which some other person was elected president shall be elected to the office of the president more than once.
Okay.
We're locked in.
Okay.
Okay, so they're locked in. We can talk on it.
Okay.
So we know Prohibition's 18. We know women's vote is 19. We know.
I hope that's not one of the next one that he reads.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I'm sorry. This is the way he set the questions up. And we know the 21st is a repeal. Mm-hmm. So I think it has to be after the repeal. When was the repeal? Do you know what year? Because this amendment would have been after FDR. Soon after FDR.
Right.
And I know
The repeal happened
in 1929, didn't it? 29? It went.
It was either that or sometime in the mid 30s. So.
So I would think that this would be 22 then.
Yeah.
Let's go there.
22.
All right, we're going to say 22.
Okay.
We said 22.
Okay.
Ooh, I feel good about that.
All right. Your third and final amendment is this. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
All right, Carmela says we're locked in.
Okay.
We're locked in as well. 1, 3, 2, 1 it?
No, we don't need a 3, 2, 1 anything.
Okay. We said the fourth.
It's the Fourth Amendment.
We said the fourth as well. So our three answers, Carmela and I said 14, 22, and 4. You guys said 15, 22, and 4.
Okay.
The fate of the game hangs in the balance.
So we're going to go with the last one first. And that was the people to be secure in their persons is the Fourth Amendment.
All right. Unreasonable search and seizure.
That's correct. The no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice is the 22nd Amendment.
Okay.
And now
somehow I think they know this better than we do.
And then the rights of the citizens to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States is the 15th Amendment. All right.
I was off by one.
So now it comes to wagers. Actually, it really does not.
It does not come to wagers at all. There's no way for us to have leapfrogged them.
So, Paul and Susanna, what did you bet?
Well, I wanted to be Cliff Clavin, but Paul talked me out of it. We bet 2 points.
That was a really good wager because we bet 21 points. Meaning if we'd have both gotten it right, you would have beat us by one. Very good wagering strategy there. Probably the smartest wager we've had from a guest.
Very much so. They usually always try to bet all.
We literally, in our conversation, we said, you know, a lot of guests come on and they're very aggressive with their betting. So we want to keep our number pretty low here.
So well, champions cool. bet zero.
Champions bet zero. That's right.
They were very conservative in their bets. Yeah.
The Democrat wanted to be conservative. Go figure.
So with a
City
score
of champions is Boston.
Yeah. Oh.
So with a score of 162-119, Susanna and Paul are your Trivial Warfare champions of the episode.
Nice job, guys. I'm changing the title. This is not going to be the Murica episode. This is going to be the government episode.
Government issued Trivial Warfare.
We found something the government can do right.
All right, guys. Well, and in addition, you are both also in tandem our Warheads of the Week. Woo-hoo! Susanna Whips Lee and Paul Mark. You are representatives from the great state of Massachusetts.
Very nice.
Well done, guys.
And Russ, we're coming for you.
Unfortunately, Russ is going to have a lot broader set of categories.
A little bit.
All right. Do you guys want to stick around while we read some reviews?
Yeah, definitely.
We'd love to.
All right. We have a couple of... Oh, I got to open iTunes. I thought it had it open.
Have we gotten some new reviews?
We're at 128.
We're at 129 as of last night.
Oh, very nice.
It's really slowed down. We're on the fight to 150. Yeah. And got to say, got a lot of new listeners
lately.
We're fighting. Got a lot of new listeners lately, but the reviews have kind of dried up on us. So if you guys are out there and you haven't given us a review yet on Trivial Warfare on iTunes, be sure to go on out there. Oh, look, there's a new Metallica album.
Yes.
Not really relevant to the show.
They actually played on The Tonight Show with Jimmy.
All right, so we have two new reviews I want to read today. One is from The Head 89.
Okay.
The Head 89 titled his review Shenanigans and said, I started listening to the show about 6 months ago. And have been meaning to write a review since then. This has become my favorite podcast, and I can't get enough of it.
Yay.
I've listened to every show at least once and find myself repeating episodes as a filler until the next one drops each week. I enjoy the great trivia, the witty banter back and forth, and the humor that ties it all together. Jonathan, Chris, Carmela, Ben, and their many other guests, that includes you guys, are intelligent and engaging. The show hits it out of the park. Keep up the great work. And since everyone is always picking teams, Hashtag Team Jonathan.
Nice. The founding member of Team Jonathan.
You finally got a team member.
I've never. That is literally
That's
the first
one
person.
In a row.
I know, right? That's the first person who's ever
Streak
done that of their own volition. But I've never asked either. So there is that. All right. And we also have a review. One of my favorite reviews by Badger Set. Okay. Badger Set titled their review Work Entertainment. The show is incredible. I started attending local bar trivia and looking for podcasts to fill in the week. I began listening to Trivial Warfare, and I absolutely love it. I'm constantly amazed at how much Jonathan knows. It's one of the reasons I like it. And totally love Carmella.
Aw, thank you.
I was listening at work one day and would occasionally ask the other girls one of the questions. Now we look forward to the new show coming out, and I put it on the speaker here. All Whoa. Production basically stops for an hour as we gather around the stereo and try and answer trivia questions. Please don't stop anytime soon.
That
we need more TW.
Fan-dang-tastic.
Isn't that fun?
Even though I'm not mentioning that review at all, that is fan-dang-tastic.
That is a ton of fun. I love the idea that we're slowing down American work.
Yes.
But America.
We're distracting good workers all across
That's
the nation.
That's right.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you guys so much. And we do have a couple of new TWA promotions that I'd like to announce. First, we have a new major. I always get excited about the new majors. Majors are donating $25 a month. And our newest major is William Travis. Thank you so much, William. You've blown me away, my friend. I truly, truly appreciate you. Thank you for your support. And we also have a new captain. Our new captain is Vivek Ravi Shankar. Vivek is a recent Jeopardy champion. Really love that you've been listening, Vivek. And I'm very excited to say that we're going to be recording an episode with Vivek very soon. So that should be a lot of fun. If you're interested in becoming a full-fledged member of the Trivial Warfare Army and getting your rank, head over to patreon.com/TWA and see what you can do to help out. Susanna and Paul, is there anything that you would like to say or share before we wrap up?
We literally watched almost every episode of West Wing because we were sure Chris was going to do a West Wing question.
Actually, you know what? Thinking about that, I'm disappointed. Not one Bartlett question ever.
Jonathan
split
asked
up the episodes to watch. Paul had a few episodes. I did, and I'm like driving down here this morning. I'm like, okay, Toby's twins, Huck and Molly, and I'm like,
oh, that's awesome.
Stuff through my. But it's a great show. Paul watched the first three seasons. I watched the rest, and we're trying to figure out if we could. Have it be ready for you for that because we were sure that was one of them because we hear you talk about it. We didn't see as much baseball as we thought because we know you guys are both big baseball fans. And
there's a lot more government and it was less on the general Americano stuff and more on the government as far as I could tell.
It was okay.
I know you didn't mind at all. All right, guys. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Chris, why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Well, thank you again, you two. We really appreciate your time, especially as valuable as your time actually is as opposed to the rest of us. We really appreciate it.
Again, hey.
All right.
Valuable time right
yes,
here,
okay.
buddy.
All right. And Carmella, again, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Carmella.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
If you need to reach Carmella, you can at TWAFirstLady@gmail.com. Again, that's TWAFirstLady@gmail.com. If you would like to get a hold of Jonathan, you can at TrivialWarfare@gmail.com. Again, that's TrivialWarfare@gmail.com. If, like Pate, you have a awesome Warm It Up Chris idea or question, feel free to send it to me at warmitupchris@yahoo.com. Until next time, that's Susanna, that's Paul, that's Jonathan, that's Carmel, and this is Chris, and this, my friends, is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare. This episode edited and produced by me, Joel Sharpton. Find help with your podcast at joelsharpton.com.
Oh. he's really got something going on there. Are you sure you don't want like a mask or something?
He's doing
Suzanne?
The boogie dance.
Wow.
I've got bronchitis.
Oh,
nobody
goodness.
Got time for that.
Oh my gosh, get the Purell out, man.